So today we finish with the church at Laodicea, and Jesus will say here to the Laodicean Christians, he says, man, I wish you were hot or cold, but instead you're lukewarm, you're tepid, and you're stagnant. And as a result, I would just as soon spit you out of my mouth. The word in the original language can be translated vomit. I mean, it's kind of a gross statement there, but saying, man, I just soon spit you out because of the complacency and the apathy there. And I was talking with Pastor Kevin. Pastor Kevin was in our operations pastor, comes into our discipleship meeting also. And he was sharing a story of back when he was in the military, how one day his unit, they scheduled an endurance event. How many soldiers I got just love a good endurance event, right? Huh? So a good endurance event. So, hey, 25-mile ruck march, go, right, in August. And so here it is, man, just, you know, in the 90s and all this high humidity, and they got all the stuff on, 25-mile march. And he said, as we're marching along, we're getting close to the end, and he said, we looked up and we saw we were all running out of water. And we saw a water truck, right? Just right up the way right there. And so we all were like, yes, you know, it's like there's, a place where we can stop and we can get some relief for just a second and then keep rolling. And he said the closer they got to that water truck, they noticed the words on the side of that truck. You can probably imagine what those words said. Non-potable. Non-potable. And he said, man, it was such a downer for us, obviously, because we thought, man, we were going to get some water, get some refreshment there. But there it is, this water truck full of water. We can't drink any of it. Non-potable. Jesus says here the Laodicean Christians were non-potable. He says, man, you got the look of Christianity. You speak the words. You have the appearance. You gather together and, you know, you raise your hands in worship and, you know, you read the scriptures together, but you're not, listen to this, you're not useful, beneficial, zealous for the gospel. There's no passion there. It's all window dressing. It's all appearance. It's not true, deep love for God. It's not born out of a life that's motivated by love and worship for Jesus. And there's a whole lot of folks in the church, especially in America, who are non-potable. Non-potable. Consumer Christians. Just come in ever so often, get a little Jesus, check my Jesus box. Transactional experience, man, just kind of come in, maybe put a little money in the plate to appease my conscience, but then go out and not really live for the mission of God or the glory of God, not really loving Jesus with all of my heart, not spending time in his word or prayer. Worship is just something that I do when I gather with the body, you know, once a month or ever so often. And Jesus says, listen, man, lukewarm Christianity is, think about this, nauseating to God. Wow. I don't know about you. That's a convicting statement, because there's time. I mean, I'm not just going to pick on you today. I mean, God's picking on all of us. There's times in my life where the preacher's not living a passionate life for the gospel either. So God is calling us to this place. Are we all in or not, right? Are we all in? We've launched our all-in campaign to build Habitat houses. By the way, it got framed up this week. Come on, give it up for Jesus. Isn't that exciting, man? It's framed up. Joel and our team are doing an amazing job there. Why are we doing that? Radical generosity in our community. It says we love you and we're going to show you how much we love you. And it's just a statement, I'm telling you, to our community. And so building Habitat houses, we're giving to Hope Pregnancy Center. We're going to take up a love offering next week so that we can give even more to bless them, right? We're giving to our school system and giving to the Education Foundation to bless teachers and administrators. And we're working with Manna Cafe in our city. We're doing all this stuff, but is that born out of deep love for God and love for people? Are we really all in for Jesus and his glory and his mission? Or is it really just something for us to pat ourselves on the back and say, you know, look, I did some good humanitarian things. No, is it about God or not? Is it about people being saved or not? And so what about you today? Are you a non-potable Christian? Non-potable. Got the look, Jesus said, when you come to know me, living water fills the soul, and through the Spirit of God, it'll overflow. I mean, I got the look. I can say the words. Looks like my life's all together. But does Jesus really live in your heart? Do you have a loving, personal relationship with Him? And is there this passion, this zeal for God, daily, day in, day out, for Him? If not, listen, today let's repent, right? Remember, we're changing the narrative on the word repentance, right? Isn't that what we said in this series? Repentance is like this big word that our culture feels like is preachy and judgmental. No, repentance is like grace. It's God's call to change. I'm going this way. And He says, no, receive of my grace. Don't live for the stuff of this world. Turn from that. Come to me. So we're rewriting the script, rewriting the narrative on repentance in this culture. It's an awesome thing. I need it every day. Not to be re-saved, but to be refilled once again with the Spirit of God. Fill me once again, Holy Spirit, because I'm pouring out, right? So, are we all in for Jesus? Let's read Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse number 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. How many would love to testify today? God is reliable and trustworthy. Come on, somebody. We can trust Him. He is reliable. He is faithful. Even when I am not, and when the world is not, and others around me are not, God is faithful. He will keep His promise. And it says here, He's the beginning, Jesus, the beginning of God's creation. Just a little aside here, the word beginning is translated origin in the original language. So it's the idea of creation originated with Jesus. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things came into being through Him, and nothing has come into being apart from Jesus. So Jesus was active in creation. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune, transcendent God. One God, three persons. That blows my mind. Anybody else with me today? Like blowing our mind on the Trinity, right? But Jesus there, He was not created. He was the progenitor of creation, spoke and created. By the way, creation means that which everything from nothing. Come on, somebody. Everything from nothing. By the way, in salvation, we are called what? A new creation in Christ. Hey, aren't you glad that God's in the business of making something out of nothing? That's what He did in my life. By the way, we're going to talk about that today. When you got saved, God didn't get a number one draft pick. He got a big nobody. He got a big nobody when He got me, but He chooses to take nobodies and make a somebody for His kingdom. Isn't that good news today? So creation, something out of nothing. By the way, whatever's going on in your life today that feels like a dark place, a hard place, difficult place, God is in the business of making something out of nothing. So trust Him there. That's the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. So, verse 15, let's keep rolling. I know your works. Okay, now He's speaking to the Christians and to us today. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. There's that statement. Nauseating to God. Wow. For you say... So now He's going to dig into that lukewarm attitude. So let's just really open our heart. It's okay, God, is this me today? Is this us? I'm rich. By the way, I would dare say almost every one of us in here, in comparison to the world, we're probably in the top 10% of richest people in the world. Every one of us. I'm rich. I have prospered. That's a verb. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. So now this accomplishment, and I put hard work in, man. Look at me. And I need what? What's that next word? Nothing. That's the goal of a lot of folks when it comes to wealth, is to live an independent life. Now, I'm independent of anyone else's authority or anyone else's control over me. I don't need anybody. When you get to the place in life where relationships are very utilitarian, that's a dangerous place, isn't it? I can take or leave you because I got money and I got stuff and I'm secure. No, time out. He's going to go on to say here, look at what he says. He says, no, you don't realize that's a wretched, pitiful, shameful, poor life. says, man, you're really blind and naked there, man. When you don't even realize that the stuff God has given you, He's given you so that you can give that away, so that you can invest in others, so you see other people saved, so that you can show love. Think about the picture of the gospel. God in heaven, was there any insufficiency in God at all before He made us? No, God doesn't need me or you today. He chooses to love us. It's just, why did God create mankind? I don't know, other than it was just a glorious display of His love. He wanted to shower His love on somebody. That's how awesome God is. And so too, that's the gospel. That's what He calls us to. I don't need anybody. Man, you've totally missed what the gospel is about when you say that. And He says here, I counsel you. So you get this, right? There's the bravado. There's the ego. There's the pride. I don't need counsel from anybody. He says, no, let me tell you something. I'm going to counsel you. And so I counsel you what? To buy from me. So you need to make an investment here. You think you're good and your stuff. No. You need to make an investment. To buy from me gold refined by fire so that you'll be rich, white garments to clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness, he says here, would not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove, and I discipline, so be zealous, and there's our word, repent. Repent. Turn from sin and rely on the grace of God and follow after Jesus. So behold, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, listen to the invitation today. If anybody hears the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and will open the door of faith, simply say, today, Jesus, I'm letting you in. Look what he says. I will come into him, eat with him, and he with me. You ever heard that statement before that God is a perfect gentleman? He never forces himself into anyone's life. He comes and he knocks. And he pleads and he says, hey, salvation is free. And I would love nothing more than to have a relationship with you, but we've got to open the door of faith. And by the way, faith is not works. James said that faith without works is dead. In other words, works is the result of true believing faith. Faith is simply reaching out to God and saying, God, I want this free gift that you're giving. That's it. So I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in, eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Real authority. You think you got authority in this life? All that's going to be taken away if you don't know Jesus. You think you're in charge. You don't need anybody. And these Laodicean Christians, he says, listen, I will grant with you to sit on my throne. True authority is heavenly authority. As I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord Jesus, today, move in our hearts. Move us to go all in for you. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to move through this quickly today so that we can spend some time we need in Lord's Supper to just pray, remember the cross, repent of sin. And so I want to walk through this quickly this morning, but basically what we see in this passage, we see, I believe, what it takes to go all in. What does all in look like? What does it look like? Because Jesus is rebuking them here for this nauseating faith. And so before we look at what it takes to go all in, this picture of lukewarm water. Now, hot or cold? When he says here, I would rather you be hot or cold, he doesn't mean like hot for God or cold against me. Like, either be for me or against me. Well, no, God wants everybody for him. Isn't that right? He wants everybody for him. So what's the idea here? Well, Laodicea was situated right between Colossae and Hierapolis. Colossae, mountainous area. You had these cold mountain streams. In Hierapolis, it was known for its hot springs. Well, right in the middle of that's Laodicea, and Laodicea had to bring in water from these two places to use for themselves. So they had this aqueduct that would run through the town, and it brought in the cold and the hot, and so as they mixed together, you can imagine what happened. So he's using that imagery here. Just like this aqueduct in your city that's tepid, that's lukewarm, you got to take the water, and you got to boil it down, and you got to do all this stuff to it in order to purify it. He said, so too, that's a picture of your faith right now. And so when he says be hot or cold water is awesome, right? We would like a little cold water right now in the middle of the summertime, right? You're outside cutting grass or working outside. That cold water is refreshing. Hot water, you can wash with it. You can clean with it. You can cook with it. So the picture there is, obviously, be extreme. Be zealous for God. You see that? Be useful. You listening? Be useful. Be beneficial. Don't be a Christian in name only. Don't be non-potable water. Be useful. Be a giver. Be a servant. Be a witness. Love God from your heart. Make worship your daily routine and your daily way of life. Make the Word of God your daily commitment to meditate upon. Make prayer your constant connection with God. Not just a once a week or once a month transactional experience when you come into a church service. So that's what he's saying here. Be hot or cold. Be extreme. Be zealous. And then he goes into here what it takes to go all in. Number one, if we're going to go all in, we must first recognize our need. We got to recognize our need. He says here, you say, I'm rich and I've prospered and I don't need anything. So I am rich. What is that speaking of? That speaks of identity. They said, I am rich. So their whole identity, you ever met someone who their whole identity is wrapped up in impressing people? And so, man, they're going to have the best clothes and the nicest, you know, best car and the nicest house and all the stuff. And man, they're going to live the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and they're only going to hang out with people that are rich and famous. I mean, there are some who that's their drive of life. And that was the Laodicean Christians. Laodicea, by the way, was known as one of the most wealthy cities in the world at this time. And so they were all about reputation. They were all about lifestyle. This is who I am, right? Well, Jesus said that he came to minister to the outcast, to the marginalized, to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, right? And to bind up the brokenhearted. That was the ministry of Jesus. That's why the Pharisees hated him. That's why organized religion of his day couldn't stand him. Because he didn't fit the appearance. He didn't fit the mold. Isaiah 53 says he had no stately appearance that you would be impressed of him in a physical sense. And so too, listen, for us, we're called to be identified with God's church, but also to go out and be identified with loving the world. That was God's heart, right? So our identity, where's your identity today? He said your identity is in riches and that kind of lifestyle. Secondly, he talks about prosperity. So we've got identity, we've got prosperity. He says, they say, I have prospered. It's a verb in the original language. And so, in other words, they're talking about their work ethic. Look at what I've accumulated. Look at what I've accomplished. And who are you to talk to me if you hadn't accomplished what I've accomplished or done what I've done or don't hold the title that I hold, right? Have what I have, you know, the degrees, right? Education, all the stuff. And so they're boasting of their hard work, and now they're using it as a way to devalue others or write people off in their culture and not give them the gospel because they don't measure up. Aren't you glad that Jesus measures up? Come on now. Aren't you glad that Jesus is good enough? And then number three, he talks about self-sufficiency. I need nothing. And so again, I talked about it earlier, but they've gotten to this place where it's utilitarian relationships. If you tell me I can't do something, that's all right. I'll just lawyer up. I got the money and I'll show you what I can do. I'm going to intimidate, authoritative lifestyle. Listen, I'm the one that's in charge because I've got the money and I got the clout and I got the connections and I got the network. And so then they're just living in this social, political, influential, wealth-driven kind of life, instead of living out the gospel, generosity and humility, right, and love and service and grace. And Jesus says all that highfalutin, like dignified, like, you know, look at my clout and what I've accomplished and all this stuff. He said that kind of faith is nauseating, man. And it's that kind of attitude, that appearance-driven, pseudo-religious, self-righteous, self-sufficient, ungracious, unmerciful attitude. He said that kind of stuff is what keeps people away from me. So keep in mind, I said it earlier, but when God got you and he got me, he didn't get a first round draft pick. He got a nobody. Got a nobody. And today it's good to be reminded, yes, as children of God, we rest in his love. We have his provision, man. We're royalty, if you will. Yes, but at the same time, I'm a nobody without Jesus. How many of you believe that today? Come on, church. Yeah. It's good to be reminded that, you know what? I'm a nobody. I'm not better than anyone else. I'm simply, D.T. Niles said it like this. He said evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find some bread. Just one beggar telling another beggar where the bread's at, man. Bread of life, that's Jesus. Listen, I'm just a beggar, man, who found the bread, and I want to give you the bread. It's like Oswald Chambers, a great pastor of old, who wrote that great devotion of my utmost for his highest. Oswald Chambers once said this. He said, listen, you're not ready to live a life that glorifies God until you're willing to be the doormat for people. I don't know about you, but being a doormat ain't a whole lot of fun. But as children of God in this society, and as you're serving the church and serving others, there's a whole lot of times where you have to choose to just be the doormat. Not say that thing that's on your mind. Not, you know, choose to prove that you're right or try to, you know, show others, you know, how right you are or what you know, or you look at my experience and look at what I've accomplished. No, time out. Until you're willing to be the doormat for people, you're not ready to live a life that glorifies God. So first and foremost, man, to go all in means I've got to recognize I'm a nobody, right? Who God made somebody. But it's only him in me that makes me anything. It's Jesus. Okay? Number two, let's keep going so we can get to Lord's Supper time today. So recognize our need. Number two, if we're going to go all in, we've got to invest in our faith. Invest in our faith. You got a whole bunch of rich people at Laodicea, but you get the sense that they're not living a generous life, don't you? That's part of the reason why it's nauseating. Because he says here, you need to invest. There needs to be some investment up in here. And he says specifically, I'm going to counsel you and you need to buy some stuff from me. First of all, he talks about refined faith. Refined faith. He says, buy from me gold refined by fire. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says this. In this you rejoice. He's talking about their salvation, their inheritance in Jesus. He says, man, we rejoice in this. But now for a little while, it's necessary. We're grieved by these trials, right? You come to Jesus, by the way, you listening? It'll actually get a little bit harder to live this life out. It gets harder. It doesn't get easier, right? Difficulty comes. And he says, man, your faith, the tested genuineness of your faith will come into play there, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. That way it will be found to result in the praise and the glory of God. And so gold refined by fire here is they didn't want the hardship. They didn't want the difficulty. That's why they lived for the wealthy things and the money and the houses and the clothes and the stuff. It's because they wanted a comfortable life. That's the American dream, isn't it? You know, make all you can all you get, and sit on the can, right? Just sit on that can, man. And man, work your tail off for as short amount of time as you can and make as much money as you can during that time so you can do absolutely nothing, right, for the final 20, 30 years of your life. I mean, that's retirement, right? Find that in the Bible, guys. Find that in the Bible. Is it good to put back for a retirement account? Absolutely. We're doing the same thing. A godly man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's a good thing. Don't hear me knocking saving and investment today. But if Jesus, hello, if Jesus is not first, seek first his kingdom, giving first, serving first, he's first in our schedule, he's first in our checkbook, he's first on our online bank account, he's first. If he's not first, listen to me, then by default, he's last. That's what he's saying here. Hot or cold. Zealous. So is he first? And so I got to have this refined faith. Man, difficulty's going to come. It is a real sign. This is good. It's an incredible sign of immaturity in us when all it takes is a little bit of offense, a little petty squabble, a little silly thing at church for me to quit serving God. It's more of a sign of immaturity in me than it is some kind of problem in the body the majority of the time. And yes, there are times in churches where there's legit issues, where folks ain't preaching the gospel and crazy stuff, unethical, immoral stuff's going on. Then yeah, you got to handle it as a church. But friends, listen to me. The overwhelming majority of the time within the body of Christ, listen, it's just people doing life. And we are all fallen people, aren't we? Come on, church. Don't leave the difficulty. In that place, he says, listen, when it gets hard and the fire comes, that's when you get purified, because your sin will come to the surface. And then I can convict you, like, oh, wow, didn't realize that was there deep down. And he says, I'll wipe it away, the dross. And it purifies the metal. So he talks about refined faith. Secondly, he talks about righteousness. I advise you buy white garments from me. And all this, he's playing on the economy and the stuff that was bought and sold in Laodicea and what Laodicea was known for. Laodicea was known for its wool industry. So he's using that imagery. And he says, listen, you know, when we get saved, we give our garment of sin, our black garment over, and Jesus gives us a brand new white garment of righteousness. And that's what happens. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteous of God in him. It's the great exchange. All my wrong on Jesus and all his righteousness given to me. And so daily, church, that's our identity that we're to put on. The love of God, the righteousness of Jesus. And walk in the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God, today, fill me. Jesus, I'm going to put you on. And so that's what he's talking about here. And so we got to invest in that righteousness that Jesus has given us. Man, get in the Word, in prayer. Say, today, God, I'm going to live this out. And so he talks about refined faith. He talks about righteousness. But then he also talks about revelation. Eye salve. Anoint your eyes. It's interesting, Laodicea, when you go back and look at the history of it, they were known for this medical eye salve. And he says to the Christians there, listen, you're accomplished. You're dignified. You're wealthy. The lost world's just so impressed with all the stuff you have and, you know, the things you own and what you've accomplished in this life. He said, you know, you have the appearance of insight, but the truth is you're spiritually blind. You're blinded by pride and ego and bravado. And listen, when money gives you moxie, it's a problem. Isn't that right? When economy gives you ego, drives your ego, now it's a big problem. He says, you need some eye salve, man. You need to wake up. And so what they needed was not at the pharmacy, right? What they needed was in heaven. And they needed God's revelation. And so too, Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul prays for the church at Ephesus. He says, man, I pray that the Lord would open the eyes of your heart, that you would know the hope for which he's called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Open the eyes of my heart. Kind of like the old song we used to sing in the church. And that's what we need today. Listen, invest in your faith today. Going all in means it's a daily, continuous investment. Jesus paid it all, so all to him I want to give back. Not for my salvation, but because of it. Right? Number three, let's keep moving. If we're going to go all in, we also have to abide in God's love. Abide in his love. He says here, therefore, be zealous and repent. Those whom I love, come on, parents in the room, those whom I love, I what? Reprove and I discipline. We understand this. God's put that as part of the image of God, I believe, in creating mankind, this sense of discipline and boundaries and right and wrong. I mean, we understand this. Reminds me of at our house, Kaysen, our five-year-old, special needs child, in the backyard. This is a few months back. He's in the backyard with our two teenagers, right? How many of you got teenagers? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, right? Oh, bless God, teenagers. We love teenagers. But every now and then they'll get a little distracted. You know what I'm saying? So they're out there supposed to be watching Kaysen, and the two of them, one thinks the other's watching him, and the other thinks this one's watching him. Next thing you know, Kaysen wanders through our tree line right into the middle of Hickory Point Road. And unbeknownst to us, he's standing there. Well, praise God, our neighbor was outside, and he ran and grabbed Kaysen. Next thing I know, our doorbell's ringing, and there he's standing holding Kaysen like this. Well, like, oh my goodness, what happened? He said, but he was out in the middle of Hickory Point Road. So what did we do, right? Went back and had a word with the teenagers. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name, right? Had a little word with the teenagers. Somebody got to watch this child, right? Put you in charge for a few minutes. But we also said, okay, don't care what it costs, fence, right? Fence down the side of the road, can't have the five-year-old. We thought the tree line's a thick tree line. We thought, man, he's not going to get through that. Oh, he did. Fence. So we paid to put some wood fencing up there. And the reason I tell you that is, listen to me, that's God's commands in our life. It's the fences around life. It's God's love. It's his protection for us. Some people look at the commands of God as these punitive things. No, reproof, discipline, all these things. It's God's love. If it wasn't for his word, I'd be up in the road. About to get run over by the devil, man. And so would you. Thank God for his word. And so when God reproves or rebukes, chastises us through his word, and even through other Christians in our life that we know and love, that we know are walking with God and care about us, when God brings chastisement, we need to thank him for it. Because what he's doing is he is protecting us from, man, the oncoming destruction. And so that's what he's talking about here. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. Man, I'm going to put some fences around. You're going to have to climb all the way plumb over the fence to get out here. And so let's abide in his love. Church, let's abide in his love. What is that? It's repentance. Every day it's saying, okay, God, man, I shouldn't have said that or done that yesterday the way I did. I shouldn't have spoken that way. Shouldn't have thought that way, acted that way. So I'm turning back to you today. And I'm grateful for the salvation you've already given me. I'm grateful. I don't have to be resaved today. I can rest in the gospel. But today, Jesus, that's what's motivating me. That's what's driving me to come back to you is the truth of the gospel. So let's abide in his love. But then number four and lastly, if we're going to go all in, we've got to welcome the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit. He says here, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone, any man, woman, boy, or girl will simply open the door by faith, submit to me as king of their life, and receive the Holy Spirit, born again. Receive me. Welcome me in. I will come in, and I will dine with him, and he with me. We'll have a feast up in there, right? A spiritual feast of peace and of joy and of love and of grace and wisdom and strength to meet these difficulties head on and to endure through them and to live a life that glorifies God in the midst of that hardship. So welcome the Holy Spirit. Listen today, what about you? Are you a non-potable Christian? Child of God in name only, but not really in love with Jesus, not zealous for God, not giving and serving and sharing the gospel out of love for him. Would to God today that we would be zealous and repent. God, I don't want this empty, broken life anymore. I don't want to live for the American dream. Nothing wrong with having stuff, but God, my stuff's got me right now. And it's taking control of my life. I'm workaholic, man. I'm not giving. I'm not serving. I'm not living for your mission. I'm not spending quality time with my family. I'm not in your word and in prayer. Life's not about you. It's all about me right now. So God, I repent of that today. I'm grateful for your grace, which draws me in with love and compassion to change.